Welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, where each week we're joined by leaders of Guaranteed Irish member businesses to chat about how they sustain jobs, communities and provenance. Supported by FBD Insurance, Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.
Hello and welcome to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast. Hi there, I'm your host Breed O'Connell and I am delighted to welcome Sharon Hoey, founder of Sharon Hoey Bridal Designs and more recently of And Tate, to tell us more about her business, its objectives, contribution to local communities and its support for Irish jobs and more importantly Irish fashion. Sharon, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Breed. Delighted to be here.
Sharon, I remember growing up and thinking, if only I could afford a Sharon Hoey bridal gown many moons ago. Anyway, it was always the go-to designer name to own or possess or covet, really. And you've built up such an amazing reputation. And more recently, we reacquainted in terms of And Tate. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love that brand.
Thank
for
you.
Everyday but special occasion. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell us all about how you got to there. And I suppose the history of you coming through the Irish fashion design journey here.
I don't think we have enough time,
Bridget. I know. So give me the highlights and how it all started.
Okay, well, I suppose I started in mainstream fashion, not obviously in bridal. I started in mainstream fashion and really evening wear was kind of a big love of mine. And, you know, I'm trying to think when it all kind of, I guess it was sort of the early 90s. And I realised that I really want to make, a business out of what I loved doing, I was going to have to specialise. I tried specialising in evening wear for a while, wholesaling around the country, but it was very, very difficult, very difficult time. So, you know, we kind of made the decision, you know, it's going to have to be bridal. And if I'm going to do bridal at that stage, I kind of really didn't know an awful lot about bridal. And I said, right, well, we're going to just try with our own brand. And then it was sort of, I suppose, a bit like a eureka moment when I realized actually, no, we're going to buy other brands. So I became a multi-branded company selling bridal and specializing in bridal. And then I guess it was upper end bridal as well, you know.
But you were also designing your own Sharon Hoey bridal wear.
As a designing, yes, have been and still am all the time. But you know, it was just a difficult time. And then it was probably late 90s, I'd say, when really we got into the bridal in a big way and exported the bridal. So we had actually a really sweet arrangement. We went into business in the UK with one company that had three chains.
Fabulous.
So you're looking for, at this stage now, my husband, Richard Tate, who's an MBA, all of this, he kind of come into the business, you know, and it was really him because, you know, he's the steadying hand and I'm the spender, you know. I'm the extravagant one.
Room for everyone in the audience.
Exactly. Okay. You know, so it was great because we, you know, we were looking to get paid from the one source, yet we were supplying all these stores. So we had the Caroline Castigliano. I think we had about 12 stores there. There was the London Designer Bridal Room chain, and then they bought Birkitex.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, so at that stage then we had to, you know, really expand our own thing. So we had lovely studios at Marrowbone Lane. And we employed quite a lot of people. I can't remember how many now, going back those years. And we were exporting our bridal and selling it in Dublin and buying in other brands, designer brands, you know, Jenny Packham, Suzanne Neville, etc., etc.
A massive business.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then what happened?
The crash. Crash came and we were selling in Stirling. And we went about it and we were taking a bath, had to just postpone it, we thought. And then I suppose as well with the crash, Belbourne, the company we were dealing with, they decided to, you know, sell off a huge amount of their properties and they looked at where they were going. And we then decided to go more into retail. So opened up another store called Annabel Rose in Wicklow Street. And moved our workrooms to the stories above it. So we had the premises on Wicklow Street there. And that went more in our own direction of retailing here, our own brand and other brands as well. So expanded up the brands that were the range, the sort of stable of brands that we were providing.
But at this stage, am I right in saying the business had reduced dramatically? in terms of the export piece?
It had reduced dramatically in terms of the export, but we, knowing that, I kind of always like to have a business a bit on three lines, you know, kind of like retail, kind of like wholesale. If we can't wholesale and export, well, then we need another retail.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, so, and I suppose in a way, after so many years, maybe 5-6 years, you know, looking at the second retail of Annabelle Rose, you know, and then our lease was up. And we said, right, what are we going to do? Annabelle Rose had sort of gained a reputation and a following of its own. So we found another property, which is where we currently are on just off Marion Square. And we had that as Annabelle Rose. But we also had Sharon Hoey, you know, and the two worked side by side really, really well. And then we noticed that we were getting the same customers. So we were having the same customers would come into us in Sharon Hoey, and then they would be coming into us in Annabelle Rose. So we said, you know what we'll do? Let's just amalgamate the whole lot. And the other thing that a lot of people don't realise is that the customer base here for bridal is narrowing. It's, you know, the birth rate. This is my little bugbear. You know, this is my little party piece. The birth rate in the middle of the 80s, about 84, 85, was just short of 80,000. By the time we got to, in 5 years, to 90, 91, it had dropped down to 45,000.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, our customers are getting less and less and less, you know. Now, you can say that we have, you know, great immigration into the country, you know, and but for us in the very sort of luxury end that we are, we don't really see that.
Yeah,
you
of
know,
course.
Not to, obviously we see some, but not to an extent that's going to make a difference to our business.
Well, we'll all have to start retaking our vows. That's the only thing for us, Sharon. Do my best on that one for you. Now, I want to get on then to the point where you kind of came back to your first love in terms of evening wear, and Tate was born. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, because I'm really intrigued about the story.
Well, I suppose really from a personal point of view, I was kind of looking for something else. I love the bridal, you know, it's there. It's not so much running itself, but it's at a steady,
well-oiled machine.
And for me, I needed something else. You know, I was kind of banging around trying a bit of interiors, trying painting. I'm still trying a bit of that. And my eldest son, Edward, his girlfriend, Edward was graduating from a college in the UK, and she wanted to wear a white shirt with one of our ball gown skirts done in another colour. And I said, okay, look, let me go and see, can I get you
a
really dressy white shirt? And I went everywhere and I couldn't find one. I came back to Richard and I said, you know, I think there could be something here. So I ended up buying three white shirts, cutting them up and kind of putting the collar of one on one, the sleeves on another, et cetera, et cetera. And then decided to really look into this and said, you know, there's a great shop, a Parisian shop, Anne Fontaine, that, you know, does magnificent white shirts, and they have various shops around the world. I wasn't kind of necessarily trying to do that. It was really like a piece. I wanted to create shirts that were pieces. So I went looking for the cotton. You know, I wanted organic cotton. I wanted sustainable cotton.
Yeah, lovely.
I wanted shell buttons. I didn't want plastic buttons. I wanted the insides of the shirts. I wanted to create something that I've always wanted to create. But as much as bridal, you know, lasts forever in the sense that you put it in a box and you pull it out 30 years later and A, either C, can you fit into it, or B, pass it on to somebody, right? I wanted something that a woman can pull out of their wardrobes at any time.
Never date.
And never date.
Timeless.
Timeless piece that is so crafted. That you go. And, you know, I'm really proud. That's what we did, you know. So, and I learned along the way that the best cotton to buy was the cotton that's manufactured for men's shirts. That's number one, because
Interesting.
Don't
get me going, Sharon.
Yeah, they have a finish on them that they don't do for cotton for women's shirts.
What's that about?
Washing, because they're washed more.
All right, okay.
Okay, so the type of thread they use, the twists of thread that they use are different to the other threads that they use. And also, I wanted to use men's formal wear cottons. I wanted the shine. I wanted that lovely satinized sheen on the cotton. And I thought, you know, this is going to be great. We're going to be selling them, you know, everywhere, all over the world, and we're going to do really well. And I didn't want to call them Sharon Hoey because I felt that was going to be too confusing with the bridal.
Bridal.
Okay. And I suppose I also felt I'd been around for so long, I was sick of my own name. And I never used my married name, which is Tate. And I thought, you know what, let's do this. Let's call it Anne Tate. Mm. And, you know, there was something else. And I know this is really small. It is on our website. But my father-in-law was A-N-D Tate.
Get off.
Yeah.
As in Andrew or just
no,
A-N-D?
No, he was A-N-D. A-N-D Tate. His second name was Norman. And that was the... Danzel was the third one. I'm trying to remember what the first one was now. Sorry, Richard. But anyway... he had everything made bespoke for him.
Oh.
Right. So, you know, it was in a way a little bit of a homage to that. And because we were using men's cottons and that. And then my goddaughter, my niece, the only girl in the family, is an incredibly creative, talented designer. And she designed the logo.
Oh, fabulous.
Which was a piece of thread. In a sort of a circle, but it's not quite a circle. And it was the thread to symbolise the combination, the story between Anne Tate, Sharon Hoey, and the whole thing brought together.
It.
Yeah, so it's a lovely little story. It is all on the website. I actually probably need to read it myself.
That story needs to be told because that gives so much. And I always feel this, investing in craft, designers, artists, creative people, you're investing in them when you buy a piece.
It was
as
really,
opposed to
it is really important to us. I suppose, you know, I've kind of like, I probably sound a bit strange because I'm saying, look, I've forgotten this, but it's not that I've forgotten it. It's just I haven't looked at it because I've been sort of fairly
busy
just with the business. But we had the time to really think this through and see, you know, where we wanted to go and what we wanted to do with it. So the other thing then, we didn't want to launch it in Ireland because I really felt, I just felt saturated in Ireland, if you know what I mean, personally. And so we launched it in Paris.
Okay, fabulous.
And we did a pre-season show in Paris and that went really well. And
what year was this, Sharon?
This would have been... January 19.
Okay, 19. Okay.
January 19. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We know what's coming then.
Yeah, you know what's coming. So
launched in Paris. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, we got clients in the Middle East. We got clients.
Exactly what you were after, really.
Across the States.
The clientele, yeah.
Yeah, in the South Seas. I mean, you know, we had great, great interest from... Israel, Turkey, you know, we made a lot of contacts and then we did the following season and then sure, we all know what happened after that.
So good old COVID came to our shores.
Good old COVID came. And we were showing at London actually in February 20 and things were going, you could see things around the world were going haywire, you know, and we got an agent then. In 2020 and he took orders and stuff but it all got cancelled.
So was there an ability because of online etc, I know you had the problem of course making it, that's the problem, was there any ability to pull that back post COVID?
Well, what we did was we decided that because of the shirts, we tried a few manufacturers here, there aren't that many and it wasn't working out, so we went to Portugal and we found fantastic company. Now they are enormous, but they sort of really liked what we did. So they took us on and said, right, well, you know, we'll allow you to do 100 pieces per design. Now the range was huge, it was far too big, you know, but you kind of learn as you go along. So we had stock. So from the first collection. And this is not a collection that you're going to be changing that much radically on season. I mean, the shirt I'm wearing now is from 2018. You know.
And well, they're classic timeless pieces
and you can wear this. So we had stock. So that enabled us to sell online. And we did sell somewhat online during COVID, but not a lot. Not as many as we did wedding dresses. That
of
was
course.
The most phenomenal thing was selling the wedding dresses online.
Amazing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Considering
yeah.
they couldn't have weddings.
Well, when they began to sort of have smaller weddings, you know, 25 and things like that, you know, before we were actually able to reopen. So we would deliver the dresses. Or if you want to try on dresses, you paid, I think it was about 90 euros or 100 euros or something. And we'd send you 3 or 4 dresses.
Right. Okay.
You know, and then you could deliver them back and we had them picked up or whatever, you know. And so that was good. But from the Ante point of view, it, you know, it was hard. As well as which, we realised rather quickly that we were not going to be able to monetize this whole new venture with just shirts.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. So whereas I started off with just shirts and my idea was they're going to be black and white and no colour. Mm. It was just going, and it was going to be really for, I suppose, really geared towards the working woman, mm-hmm. you know, or an event or an occasion. Mm. And then, you know, COVID has changed so many things for all of us, you know, so many people right. working from home, mm. you know, they just don't need those that kind of wardrobe anymore.
Okay,
you know?
So how did you innovate then? Because I know Anne Tate now and it has so much more.
Oh, it has so much more, and it's still evolving at an incredible speed. I find it even difficult sometimes to keep up myself. So we said we'd bring in some evening things. Now, we had decided that before COVID. OK, so we did have this small evening range of crepe and satins, and that is what our agent in the UK took. And in fact, that was what Brand Thomas saw and they had ordered there in 2020, yes. And then I got a phone call out of the blue in 21 asking me if, from Brand Thomas, Arnott's, asking me if they could see the collection again, because they had seen it and they remembered it and wanted to bring it in to the Arnott's store if I could deliver. So we didn't show it to them, I think it was around the 31st of August, 1st September. And could we make delivery for pre-Christmas, which we said, yeah, we would.
But pre-Christmas, tight.
But it was exciting. Mm. And we did it and it sold really well. And we've kind of been going on from there. But my love of black, you know, we say, please, could we have some colour? Please, could we have some colour? And I'm going, no, we're only black and white. And then we did a little showing where I met you at Showcase.
That's right, yeah.
Just last January. And I decided to put a bit of red in just to kind of lift the stand.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, it stands out like a sore thumb then. We all wanted red.
Exactly. And blue and pink and every other colour under the sun. Mm. So that's really where
we are.
But
that's all since then, actually.
Mm.
So that's amazing.
So since last spring, where I was showing autumn winter, throwing in a bit of red, because red's obviously very big for this season. This was our autumn winter. It then, when we showed it to some of our buyers, our retail buyers of other stores, then they were picking the colours. Mm. And we said, okay, well, you know, if you want, you can have your own colour if you order XYZ. So it's a learning. I mean, it's something I did. Mm. Way back, I know.
That's right.
Sharon Hoey, so we used to supply 72 stores around the country, actually. And now we're kind of back to this and trying to expand our partnerships, you know, around the country.
But it's interesting,
now
you've gone back to your first love of evening.
Yeah.
Because it's very much, now I have to confess, I have a couple of pieces which I adore, and they are hard-working dresses.
They are.
Because you have your black staple, little black dress, LBD, in the wardrobe, and when all fruit fails, my goodness, it's fantastic to have it.
Yeah.
And a pair of heels and you're done. It's really easy.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel a million bucks. They are beautifully designed, I have to say that.
Thank you.
But they are beautifully crafted. And I think that's something for anybody listening who's in the market for it, coming up to Christmas or as a little treat, or have a few things on from weddings, events, work events, family gatherings. For me, I just found them really useful in the sense that, let me really describe this now as an ordinary working woman. I found them really useful in the sense that they made me feel glamorous without me having to kill myself to get glamorous, other than get my hair done, of course. But other than that, they're also comfortable, which is really important, I think. I also feel I don't have to go on a massive diet before I put it on. It's fantastically cut so that it suits. And most women in Ireland feel like that when they put on something. So I think they're important things to actually make. They're for real women and they're really grown-up glamour.
Yeah, thank you very much for all of that. I think when I started the shirts, it was very important for me that the button at the bust doesn't gape.
Right.
It was very important for me to realise, because of the price of the shirts, that we were not going to be selling these to, say, the younger generation. Mm. They were really going to be mid-30s up.
Mm-hmm.
Women, you know, biologically, we have babies, tummies are never as flat. It was very important that the tummy area was a little bit more generous, you know. Now, our initial shirts were on the smaller side, in terms we the patterns were a little bit neater,
fitted,
so
yeah,
a little bit neater. So our 8 would have been a very, very true 8, 10, etc., etc. So that, so we've learned through that, and you know, our sleeves might have been a little bit, you know, on the narrower side. So that's all a little bit more of a generous cut now.
Right.
And that was really just more a learning yeah, curve for us, you know. The patterns were just a bit too true to size. Mm. So, you know, the shops give us feedback, you know, they want, say, the shirt I'm wearing now, they felt the sleeve needed to be half an inch longer.
Okay.
Fine. So the sleeves from now on were half an inch longer.
Okay, interesting.
So, you know, we will, you know, the
customer people, feedback, really important.
Well, the people who own these stores, you know, are absolute experts.
Yes.
You know, and they're dealing with their customer base every single day, and they know what they're talking about. So yes, I will absolutely listen to them. And from my perspective, you know, on the bridal, I'm dealing with a younger cohort of customers.
For sure, yeah.
So it's different. But at the same time, I know that they all want their waist. Mm. They all want their torso to look the best, right? So taking all of this and then applying it to Ann Tate. And the thing about Ann Tate as well was I wanted to do something that I was going to be very proud of, and therefore I was going to wear, and my friends were going to wear, you know, and I didn't want to design garments that, you know, are either, if you're going to something, you're sort of like a dressed up peacock.
Yeah.
Or I wanted things to be easy pieces, but have a glamour about them. Either it's the texture or the shape. And I'm very much, it's the texture or the shape, or both. And that's what it is in all the pieces.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Sharon. People don't want to look like they've tried too hard.
Exactly.
So at the same time, they look stunning. So if you can do that.
Well, I'm very impressed.
Absolutely. Now tell me about Ann Tate. Where can people buy it? And who is your target audience there, quickly?
Okay, so my target audience probably is anybody from, you know, late 30s upwards. And I mean, right on upwards. You know, I have customers who've come into us in the bridal store, because we have a section of it now for Ann Tate, and I'm ranging in age from exactly that, from late 30s right up into the 80s, you know. Arnott's. So in Brand Thomas Arnott's we sell. Mackill, MacBee's in Killarney.
And Killarney.
Emporio Kalou in Naas.
Oh yeah, fabulous.
You know,
yeah,
fabulous store. Both fabulous stores. You know, Arnott's is amazing, but nowhere has the complete collection. So this is something that we're kind of trying to work towards. So in Dublin, we're more of a showroom for Ann Tate. You can make an appointment to come in. You will see the full collection there, but we don't carry it in all the colours and all the sizes. So it
so that's
be,
the one off Merrion Square.
Yeah,
your own place.
That would, so you'd be coming in and you'd be ordering it. You can try on, but we would have a few sizes and things, but chances are we're not going to have the apple green that you're looking for in a size 12. You know, we might have it in a 10, or we might have it in a 14, or we might have it in blue, but you'll see the fabrics and you can get an idea. So in its size. And I do, I find that, you know, the people who are coming into me, the women who are coming into me are buying for an occasion. So they're not coming into me needing it for next week. They're coming in looking for
Some of us do.
No, but you're a very busy woman.
Anyway, now one thing I do want to highlight to you is 2024 March, Guaranteed Irish is 50 years of age.
Wow.
And a big celebration with their awards in the RDS, but also the celebration of the 50 years. And we are asking everybody attending to wear Irish, or to make an effort to wear Irish. And we don't want to put people to expense, but if they are going to buy something special, to wear Irish. Men and women, of course, equal measure. And if they can't manage a full dress or a guna, that they would at least think about Irish accessories and things like that. And you've actually been very generous to some of our smaller producers here in terms of accessories and things like that, because you carry those as well, and you're very generous to showcase them with your designs.
We do carry them, and we try to well, I'm also a member of CIFD, the Council of Irish Fashion Designers. I'm a recent member. I'm less than a year, but I'm delighted that there is this great sense of camaraderie and sharing. You know, it wasn't something I thought of, but say for my next shoot, I would like to maybe borrow some shoes from Nicky Hoyne, you know, or some jewellery, you know, or bags from, you know, Ted Bags or Landa or something like that.
Fabulous,
and as they have been doing for me. And, you know, it wasn't... I had never sort of thought of it. I'm bizarrely in the business nearly 40 years, and this is a newbie for me.
Collaboration,
you know? Yeah.
So. And it's so important, isn't it? Because we can all lift each other a little
bit.
And even going through the trauma of different business ups and downs, it's great to have somebody to bounce a few things off.
Yes.
So I think
that's
really helpful. And CIFD do that really well.
They do very well. It is
so
excellent.
So next March, everybody, if you're interested in wearing Irish, certainly consider Anne Tate, fabulous evening wear. And more importantly, I suppose the big thing is that we're making a statement that we've chosen to wear Irish and support our Irish designers and creators out there. What are the next steps then, Sharon, for Anne Tate?
Well, we really need to export Anne Tate. You know, we need to get Anne Tate to a level that where it can stand on its own. You know, Anne Tate is very much supported by the bridal side of our business. So we've got to get those two. We've got to get Anne Tate up and running on its own. So in order for us to do that, we need to get more accounts around the country, and we need to export. You know, we absolutely have to export. And we're export ready. We have the background. We have the experience. We have the contacts.
You have the contacts,
We have the contacts, absolutely. So there's no reason why we can't. You know, it's just trying to find the right partners and the right partnerships. And this is where CIFD, Eddie and Enterprise Ireland and the Irish Fashion Alliance and all of these things. You know, we might need to move a little quicker than some of these organisations. But we, Richard and myself, are actively following this path, you know.
Okay, great.
But also, I suppose, from my own perspective as a designer, I'm kind of, it's a bit like an artist and a palette, you know. At the moment, I'm in the middle of, I'm just finishing Spring Summer 24. I'm a little bit late. I'm also currently starting Autumn Winter 24-25, which I'm going to show on the Gloss Look the Business Show. So as a kind of little... pre-look little you know, first look.
When will we see that?
At the Gloss, the first of that will be on the Gloss Show that night.
Brilliant. So, fantastic. And when is that?
That is the 12th or 15th of November, forgive me, but I think it's the 12th of November.
Okay,
it's one or the other. It's either 12th or 15th. So, and then we'll be at hard selling that. So that's our main collection. Yeah, so I mean, that's all very exciting, but you know, it is a business, and it is you know, we have to
make money.
We have to make money, you know, we have to pay our staff, you know, and that's the big thing.
Have Guaranteed Irish been of any help to the business?
Yeah, great, I think.
How?
Well, you know, I feel very proud that we are a member of Guaranteed Irish. It's taken me a long time to kind of knock on the door. But now that we have, and I feel it gives us a sort of permission to say to people when they come in, you know, this is Irish. We need to support Irish, you know. I've also found that I personally, when I'm doing my shopping now, you know, even my grocery shopping, I'm actually now really looking at the label.
Right, okay. That's
I'm buying Irish. You know, it is easier. There's only two of us now. Yeah. We're not buying for five or six anymore, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does make a huge difference. I mean, but I think Irish fashion, you know, I know Guaranteed Irish covers far more than fashion, but Irish fashion contributes so much to our economy and it is just not recognised. I don't feel that it is properly recognised. And it is another one of those areas that is mostly women based, you know, and here we go again. You know, we're not getting the supports.
Well, let's change that, Sharon Hoey, and thank you so much for joining
us.
Lots to do. This is the start of a long journey and relationship and collaboration, which I really am delighted to have Anne Tate involved with Guaranteed Irish. Thank you for your contribution to the Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast today. And please, for those of you who listened and enjoyed, like, share and follow and review the programme if you found it interesting. And listen to it on the platform and review it on the platform that you're listening to now, most importantly. Remember, at the end of the day, if you feel your business can benefit from networking with like-minded businesses here in Ireland, GuaranteedIrish.ie is the exact place for you to contact. In the meantime, take care, enjoy the rest of the week, and look out for the G as you go.
The Guaranteed Irish Business Podcast, sponsored by FBD Insurance. Ireland's largest homegrown insurer. Support. It's what we do.